You're now listening to From the Jump, where we keep the convo going with the latest and greatest in hip-hop. With your hosts, Mr. White and Syllable. They tell it like it is.
From the Jump.
Welcome, welcome to From the Jump, your source for all things hip-hop. I got my co-host, Mr. White.
What up?
And we are guesting today by Storm Shadow, local Austin MC. What's going on, Storm?
Peace and love. How you doing, Universe? Thank you for having me on the show, brothers.
Absolutely.
So we want to definitely take a moment here to just say we appreciate you coming by to be on the podcast. We are based in Austin, Texas. Got connections all over, wherever it's the Midwest or the East Coast or the West Coast, for the folks that we interview, as well as our connections in the music industry. And so we want to honor definitely folks from Austin, Texas, which is booming. So many people have been discovered here during South By, during ACL, and it is truly the music capital. This is one of the few cities you can find music 7 days a week, even post-pandemic. Now things are still opening up,
yeah,
and that's what's great about Austin. So Mr. White, you have collaborated with Storm Shadow on a project before.
Yeah, I have. I feel like, you know, I've been blessed to have him in the lab. You know, it was kind of a happen chance type of situation. You know, I had heard about his music through other people. And then I was working with somebody, and they was like, "Yo, I'm gonna bring Storm Shadow through." And I'm like, "Yo, word, you bringing Storm Shadow through?" And I was kind of like trying to get my situation together. I had my little garage studio, and you know, I was very prideful about it, or at least trying to present it in that way, and trying to make sure I could present the best project, you know. And Storm came through, man. He had the kind of the whole workshop, because he brought in stems with music on there. He had a singer on there as well. You know, he had his own, you know, material that he was working on for a totally different project, and he was just showing me stuff, and he was like, "All right, I got this piece of music that I want you to kind of work with," you know. And it came out, you know, really good in my opinion. But you know, it was definitely one of those situations. It was one of the first times, I'm gonna be honest, where I wasn't sure, you know, what I was gonna be able to do with all of that material, but it came out so well.
You're coming from the Chi-Town area,
yeah,
over there, and from the Midwest, so you don't know some of the legacy and the history here in Austin, having not grown up here. So
absolutely,
you're also just getting exposed to stuff.
So I wanted to make that good first impression.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. And you know, I let Storm either speak on that situation, or you know, just any situation in general. But you know, that was one of the times where I felt like, you know, I really was. You know, I was proud of myself for being able to stand in that situation and deliver, you know, and that's important.
One of the reasons why it is important is because Storm is mad talented. I'm really happy that he's here.
Yes.
I met Storm Shadow, I think. It was at the Cypher, right?
Yeah, I think that was at the Cypher, yeah.
So just some background, and then definitely going to dive into some questions about Storm's career. So for about 5 years, I was co-hosting the Tuesday Night Cypher, which went on at the state capitol for Austin, Texas, where we would gather in a circle or in a boombox, just like 1920s Cedric Avenue style, freestyling around a boombox with beats, whether it was, you know, Jay Dilla, or we listened to Alchemist or whoever, or Pete Rock, and we would freestyle about anything. And I saw Storm there, and I was instantly impressed with his acumen for rhyming, and that was, I don't know how many years ago, like 2010?
Yeah, possibly.
Something like that?
Yeah.
So, Storm, tell us about kind of how you got into hip-hop. What was your first beginnings as a listener as well as an artist?
Basically, for me, I guess it was like Crush Groove, Fat Boys, Run DMC, you know, Eric B and Rakim was like a really big influence for me. You know, Mahogany, that was one of the dopest lyrics I heard. Public Enemy, Night of the Living Bass Heads and stuff. So I was like really into them. Stetsasonic, you know, not so much into the gangster rap side, but more into the hip hop side, definitely. And then like, as far as the West Coast, I was into like Razzcast and Far Side. And then on the South Side, it was more like Outkast and Goody Mob and stuff like that. People that kind of pushed the envelope for the culture and had something else to say besides the whole like shoot somebody up and sell drugs to your community type thing. Don't get me wrong, I enjoyed those too, but I related more to people that was like pushing more the lyrical content and pushing a barrier, you know, as far as like a Busta Rhymes or a Pharoah Monch mm-hmm. or Mos Def, you know. So yeah.
So that. So how old were you when you wrote your first rhyme?
Let's see. I know I was in my teens, so I'll say like 18, maybe 17. I started like taking it more serious and crafting my own rhymes and stuff. We'd do like pep rally shows at our school and stuff like that. Like everybody knew like who I was, and I was known for rhymes. Sometimes like even in class, we had like a wood shop class. I hated it, but our teacher would let me like do rhymes and stuff, me and another homeboy and stuff, to like pass the class or whatever, because they enjoyed the lyrics so much or whatnot. So yeah, you know, it goes far back like that for me and stuff like that, and just trying to like mimic certain artists, and then eventually going into finding who you are as an individual and finding your own individual essence and stuff and pushing that forward.
And when did you record your first track?
I'll probably say like early 2000s was my first EP, which was Omega Supreme.
Okay.
And I started off with this group called None of the Above. And then later on, it morphed into a group called the Underground Assassins.
Was that high school still? Or
yeah,
that
still in high school. Okay. Yes.
So once you got into it, you was into it tough. You was writing, sounded like you were performing.
Oh,
you
yeah.
was trying to get on wax. Like, and I mean, I feel like that's the common thread for a lot of, you know, artists. You know, once they get a taste of it, it's like, you know, just kind of beast mode, you know,
yes.
pushing through. Even like yes. people that came in and out of my studio, everybody was just ready to wreck it. And you know, it's like, that's what's beautiful about hip hop. I think it brings so many passionate individuals together, and you know, it's strong like that. It's a bond.
Excuse me if I offend. Heart of a champion, man. Praise the Lord for melanin. Never shall I bleach my skin. I'm too fly and elegant. Poor righteous teacher that is wise and intelligent.
And it was just a great era, too. Like, you're talking about, like, the late 80s, the 90s and stuff like that, where people were just, like, pushing to be themselves and not sound like the next individual.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Not be a robot or a clone. So everybody sound different from everybody and stuff. So it was just new different ways to come at rhyming and look at rhyming, even on a visual standpoint with music videos and things of that nature as well. Mixtapes. Like the break dancing as well, the graffiti, like all these different elements of hip hop was just so prominent, and it just like I embraced it as it embraced me, man.
So I would like to definitely ask you what your process is for writing rhymes.
Really, I let the beat pretty much dictate that. Sometimes it might be a hook first, sometimes it could be the lyric first, sometimes it might take a few months for me to come with something, sometimes it might be right there on the spot. So it just kind of depends what frame of mind I'm in and how the beat is or whatnot, but the beat pretty much dictates how my cadence and my style is going to be. And every beat I'm on, I try to have a different cadence, a different style. I pretty much don't stick to one form of rhyming.
That's amazing, man. I mean, I've definitely heard you exhibit, you know, a multitude of styles, you know, over the years. You know, you have some more Afrocentric stuff, but then you got the trap, then you got the boom bap. Like, you don't, you know, like, people might hear you and what you're talking about, your content and your consciousness, and might think that you're not capable of doing that. But right. as far as I've heard, like, Storm gets down whatever. And when he come to the lab, he's not playing. Like, you better have your hottest lines too. You he not gonna get on the track and just you know stick a toe in the water. Like, nah, it's brown. Nah, yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, I've had people ask me questions like, "Hey, man, is he angry or what? You know, did I do something wrong?" I was like, "I'm drop dead serious, Storm." Somebody asked me after a session we was in, like, "Was you angry?" And I was like, "I'm like, no." Nah. Like, he was like, "What was he talking about in that rhyme?" And I was like, "I'm like,
concentrate,
yo, man. He just ill with it. Like, he's like, if you feeling some type of way about the rhyme he's spitting, and you might be." It might be close to home, you, because you're not, you know, you don't speak at people, you know, negatively. You just speak on things that you feel that are negative, and you don't want that energy. And so if somebody feels attacked by that, then maybe they're doing something wrong. That's how I looked at it. Yeah. Like, I didn't really take it too much further. But, you know, that's just like, you know, we had Mike Anon on our last episode. Nice. And he was just talking about
the beef with Talib Kweli.
Well, no, he was just talking about, you know, being so hard with his bars that people could get offended. Like, they get shook. Yes, you know what I'm saying? But that's that energy that the old school hip hop vibe was. Like, you feel your music, and so when you get on a track, like, people feel you too. Mm-hmm. Like, they might feel mm-hmm. you so much so where it's like, mm-hmm. man, I feel like that man just punched me. Oh, but yeah. you just rapping.
That KRS-One approach.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I think Tupac was a master of that too, just putting his emotions into the actual song, and you're just like, oh my god, like DMX,
yeah,
that's another one. There's peace, certain yeah, masters of that and stuff. But no session I ever had was there any ill will or anything directed towards anybody. I just get in that zone, and when I'm ready to attack, then I start attacking. And last thing I want is the, you know, have to do 85 takes because the vibe ain't there, or hear it back again and then it don't sound right. So I'm like, when it's on point, it's on point. I almost put my mind in the form of like Bruce Lee and Into the Dragon and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like what he was talking about, focusing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like a finger pointing to the moon. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Don't focus on the finger or you'll miss all that heavenly glory. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I like a lot of his philosophy. So it's like, man, let me focus in on this beat and handle my biz and stuff and let my presence be felt, you know?
Gems, man. That's, you're dropping gems. I hope y'all hearing that out there.
Yeah, I think it's important to focus on not just the delivery, also the content, but don't get so focused on content you forget the delivery. You can have the dopest concept in the world. You can have a cure for world hunger, but if your bars ain't there, and if you ain't bringing that stage presence and that energy, ain't nobody gonna feel you. Mm-hmm. If you ain't riding that beat, if you don't got people bobbing their heads when they listening because you're using your voice as an instrument on the track, then what's the point, right? Yeah. The content gets lost when that delivery can't come as fierce as Jaws. So don't get stuck in that place. So let's talk about kind of the evolution of hip-hop, because I think you're definitely someone that has been around and you've seen the changes just as we have in the way hip-hop is presented. And I think you said something that really caught my ear before, because one of our other interviews, Wordsworth, also talked about how things sound the same on the radio now because people feel like it's kind of a fill in the blank, like a swapping out of a formula. And while there is some innovation going on, definitely, I think mm-hmm. there's also a degree of that copy and paste. And so I'm just kind of curious, like, who you like that's recent and what your thoughts are on the evolution of hip hop.
Well, as far as people recent that I feel that's really dope, I like Georgia Ann Moudra. I think she's very, very dope. She sings, she rhymes, and she makes her own beats. Also got to give it up to Cyroc, which is another queen within hip hop. She's like super lyrical. And as far as like the progression of hip hop, you know, I look at it all as black music and black expression. So I don't get too caught up in East Coast, West Coast, or reggae, or rock, or whatever. I feel like it's all black expression and stuff. And that's how I'm able to be able to go into those different fields and do that. But first, I have to learn to humble myself and study, you know what I'm saying, like as far as the reggae goes and stuff, because I do a lot of stuff in the reggae community as well. And I don't want to ever like come off where it's like unsincere or like I'm trying too hard or anything like that, or disrespectful and stuff like that. So me myself, you know, like I look at it in totality as that and stuff. And I think a lot of times people don't know who they are or how to express themselves, and it's easier to just copy somebody. And I think there's a big push for a lot of clone music, a lot of robot music. And but there, like you said, there are those certain individuals, Kendrick Lamar, you know, and there's others out there that's, you know, doing their own thing and finding who they are and stuff like that. And you can tell in the music and stuff, a lot of the times, you're right, a lot of the music sounds the same and the beat sounds the same and stuff. And I think also it boils down to acceptance. People don't want to feel rejected, and so they do what's popular, you know what I'm saying, instead of coming from their heart, because people might not understand it, or they might not get the same acclaim or fame or likes or whatever is pushing them and stuff like that. So I think there's a lot of different factors, but far as me, I didn't get into this game to be liked by everybody. I didn't do hip hop to be liked by everybody. I already knew that some people just not gonna like me. Some people are not gonna accept me, and that's cool. You know what I'm saying? Like my job is to make the unconscious conscious.
Yeah.
So that's my main goal. So, you know,
that's a real deep philosophy, man. I think just that whole adage of being yourself, I think we brought that up before, where people really think that originality or standing out is going to be something that isn't going to make them successful. But in all honesty, if you look at the history of things that have been successful, it's because they're original. And if you look at the early goings of those things, they may not have been as successful as the things that were on and popping at that time. But if you stick to what you know and what you do, you're more likely to be successful, even if it's different from what you see everybody else doing. So, you know, much respect, Storm Shadow, for just sticking to your guns on that. Because some people,
definitely.
Some people, I mean, I'm not going to say I'm the most conscious artist. I have conscious content here and there when I'm making projects and when I decide to go that route. But it's hard, and especially in the modern era, because you don't hear a lot of that. So it's like, mm-hmm. when you put your project out, it don't sound like nobody else's. So it's just like, you have to be like, all right, my project ain't supposed to sound like nobody else's. And that's what it is.
I think it's really a fine line. And that's what's challenging, is because just being original isn't enough. Like, you have to have a hook. You have to find some way to express something in uniquely your own lane. And, you know, Mr. White is very correct on this aspect. And I love that point that Storm brings up. And the fact is that it requires a lot more bravery to be original than it does to just try to mimic exactly what it is. Now, we all have influences as hip hop artists. Right. We all have stuff that we like and enjoy. And it's fine when we're starting out to sound like that. But eventually, instead of staying in that first step for the whole career, you want to branch out. You want to innovate. You want to find something that is unique. Unique, never unique, to your approach. You and your style, because look at, you know, Rakim when he came out with the multi-syllable raps. People, I'm sure, when they were first hearing that, were like, nah, this is whack. What's he talking about? This will never last. He's going to crash and burn and very shortly. And he went on to revolutionize styles. And same thing goes for Migos and the Triplet Flow, right? Although we can go back earlier to Bone Thugs and Harmony and other rap groups that did experiment with the Triplet Flow as well, but without being a complete history lesson, right? We got Migos that really did popularize the Triplet Flow, which I'm sure for some people when they first heard that, like, nah, what's this? I don't like this. It's different. But once you patent that approach and that style for what you're doing, and you come up with that unique approach, that's how you start winning. But it's harder to do that than it is to just go along with the flow and the crowd.
Yeah,
definitely. I want to say the same thing with people being like, oh, you sound so 90s and stuff like that. And then a group like Griselda comes out whose whole style is 90s style, and they're winning at doing it. You know what I'm saying? They're bringing that whole flavor back and stuff, and a lot of the people from that era, the Wu-Tangs, the Mobb Deeps, the Locks and stuff like that, they're putting their stamp on that. And Jay-Z, you know what I'm saying, and you're seeing like they're winning at that 90s style. So a lot of people that speak and say things, 9 times out of 10 they're not even like trying to attempt to do what you're doing and stuff. You know, a lot of times it's the naysayers and stuff like that, they're not making something out of nothing and stuff. And sometimes you just gotta believe in yourself and focus and have a plan too as well, you know. And I think that's what West Side Gunn did with his crew, and I think it's very dope. They're some of my favorites actually, as far as like the new guns in the game and stuff like that.
I would agree with you 100%. They've definitely made that era of what you would call like Wu-Tang rap, when, you know, kind of Ghostface was dropping all those projects, because a lot of their stuff sounds, you know, very Ghostface. Not necessarily like Method Man, but definitely like more like that Ghostface. But, you know, they're making it trendy again, to where it's like, you know, I can't have a project without something a little smoother on there, a little jazzier, a little bit more Afrocentric. And it's like, you're hearing that come back to the forefront. You're even hearing artists overseas that are trending doing you know, hip hop music. You know, if you talk about one of the most interesting things of the diversity of hip hop is how it's kind of globally spanned and then like kind of mirrored back, because one of the biggest scenes, like London Drill, right? Well, London Drill is from Chicago Drill that went to London, then came back to New York, blew up again a third time. But you got artists over there for drill music that's bigger than our drill artists, just because it's starting to get to that, past that barrier. You have artists over there in Africa like Wizkid or whatever. That's like they, like it's dope. It's dope hip hop artists globally now. Like it ain't. It's not just in America, and it's beautiful to see just all of these barriers. I feel like that's kind of what we're starting to see now. That's why when you hear a song in hip hop, like it's hard for them to even classify what it is, because we're starting to break those barriers down more and more. And that's, you know, that's just the musical aspect of hip hop. It is musical for sure, you know.
I mean, you look at, you know, Drake's career. He made a career off resampling 90s R&B. I mean, you think about that, and all the, but you, like Storm Satter says, there's a lot of people that are always, they're addicted to this idea that everything has to be the new when they don't understand how that was even created, and that the elements that go into creating that actually go back further. And just like anything else, you can separate something out and develop it, cultivate it, and make it dope. It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, it's interesting how many different varieties of music there's out there, and groups like Hamilton, right, who do something that is slightly different, but at the same time it has a lot of the same similarities to dope stuff that's happened before. I don't know if you guys ever saw that Stomp crew from back in the day that would make music out of everyday objects. They'd be hanging from a billboard, and they'd be using like different tools to create rhythms and syncopations, and they created something beautiful and amazing with that, that was incredibly talented. And I think it just goes to show that dope is dope. Dope will never go out of style.
Yeah,
there you go.
So what are you looking forward to as far as shows coming up or projects you're working on? Also, if you want to highlight any shows that you have done with any notable artists or folks, just dope experiences you've had during shows, because as the Wu-Tang Clan can demonstrate to us, not everybody can be an album artist as well as a performance artist.
Well, as far as future shows, right now there's going to be none, because the world is upside down and topsy-turvy right now. So right now I'm looking at health, wealth, and knowledge of self, and living off the grid if possible, you know what I'm saying? Because I really don't know where things is going as far as the world and the people that control the world and the devils in the world that trying to cause chaos in the world and stuff right now. So with this COVID and different things going down, I choose not to do any shows and stuff, but I will do podcasts such as this great show, and I will continue to put music out. I have a single that I put out called Cream of the Crop with Yoli Zapata. She's from a group called Public Offenders. She's one of the illest female MCs in Austin. Definitely should check her out in her group and check the single out as well. And I got an album coming out called Rebel with the Cause, and that's going to be real dynamic and militant and full of a lot of energy and highly lyrical. So I suggest people check that out as well, you know. And that's definitely, that's pretty much where my mind's at right now. But as far as like shows or being around crowds and stuff like that, nah, I'd rather like lay in the cut and do my thing, you know. Maybe if I did a live show, it would be like an online type of thing with a handful of people or whatnot, you know. But that's just where my mind is at right now till things get a little bit better.
If you could open up for any artist, who would you want to open up for?
Oh man, I would love, rest in peace, to open up for MF Doom. You know what I'm saying? I always thought MF Doom was really sick, you know. Another rest in peace, Sean Price. Nah, I mean, I think he's real dope, you know. As far as like people that's in living in the flesh right now, here and now, you know what I'm saying? I definitely would say Raz Cass, one of my favorite. Even the Horsemen, the Four Horsemen, their group and stuff with Killer Priest and Cannabis and Corrupt. I think they're real dope. One of my favorite MCs is Pharoah Monch. Most Def, you know. Those are definitely dope artists and stuff that I respect and look up to and stuff. I've had plenty of conversations over the phone with Killer Priest. He's really a dope cat and stuff about spirituality, not so much music and stuff like that.
Okay.
And, you know, those are the type of brothers that I look up to in the industry that I would love to open up for and do music with, definitely, like-minded individuals.
That's dope. You know, I got to see Black Star live at Rock the Bells many years ago, and that was a dope performance. I don't even know if there was any performances after that performance because they haven't come together for a long time. But seeing Talib Kweli and Mos Def, aka Yasin Bey, live on stage in front of 15,000 people, that was an epic moment that I'll never forget. And so we're gonna go ahead and wrap this up in a few minutes, but I did want to ask you, because I'm sure there are people that listen to this podcast, and only are they fans of hip-hop, but they're hip-hop artists as well, and these young people, there's teens as well that listen in, as well as people that are older. So I'm curious, what advice would you have for people just getting into hip-hop right now that you think would be helpful for them getting started?
Study it from the rooter to the tutor, man. You know what I'm saying? Study it from the roots all the way to the fruits. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't have a stagnated mind state where it's like, oh, that's old and this is new or whatnot. Be able to study everything in totality and take it all in and be able to treat it like a piece of meat, trim the fat from it and get the good part of it and stuff like that, you know. And again, see how it applies to yourself and learn who you are as self and stuff. And that comes in with spirituality and knowledge and reading as well. You know what I'm saying? It's not just about the music and stuff. Sometimes you need to sit down and study. Like me, I read the dictionary. I write out of the dictionary. I get words out of the dictionary. I learn the definitions of the words. I implement the words into my lyrics, you know. So always keep it fresh. Always look for new ways to study and innovate and take things to a higher level. So that's some advice that I would give people. And do not be a clone. Do not be a robot. Learn to be self. You know what I'm saying? That's number one.
Yeah, that's definitely great advice. Being yourself sometimes can be the hardest challenge with all these masks that we wear. We wear a mask for work. We wear a mask for even some family members sometimes. We wear a mask for certain friends, especially post-2016 election. We got cats with different political opinions, and we're like, you know what? I don't necessarily want to cut you off, but at the same time, there's certain conversations we're not going to have. So part of that survival mechanism is we have to play these different roles. But yeah. The question is, what is your role as a hip hop artist? Is it to sell albums? Is it to be your truest self? Is it to do both by doing one or the other? Is it a choice where it's one or the other, right? I mean, what is identity? And the thing is, we all have rap personas. We're putting it on stage, but, you know, outside Bill Street Tavern, as I've mentioned in one other podcast, I believe, you know, I was hanging out with the local legends, Trey God, and he gave me some of the best advice, saying, you know, the more you are able to be yourself on stage, the more your fans will feel you and relate. And I think that's some of the best advice anyone can get, because the fact is that what is self? What is knowledge of self? We sometimes can forget about this because we're too busy chasing after the cheese, chasing after that carrot on a stick, always waiting for that future to arrive, that we forget to live in the now. We forget to be who we are.
Yes.
And,
yes,
you know, the thing is that when you can represent who you are with the pen and the pad on that track and be yourself, that cadence that comes from selfhood is reflected in tonalities that go beyond music. People can feel your frequency when you're communicating with them from that level.
Yeah. Now, and that's so powerful that you're talking about, you know, kind of the detail in which is required to be successful at what we're doing. And, you know, we've heard this reverberated with other talks. Wordsworth talked about us being writers. We're not just musicians. And to be a writer, of course, you need to be using your literary tools. Storm Shadow speaks to the dictionary. Pick up a thesaurus. Read other books. You know, take from other writers and, yes, and use that knowledge, that collective knowledge that we have as humanity that helps us grow. Instead of just going from, you know, the trends or the well-known, really dig deep and start building that story and writing that story. And then, you know, studying, very important, whether that's studying music, studying yourself, studying, you know, is something in research, you know, be in the know. Yes. Don't let things just pass you by and be like, it doesn't matter. Because, you know, you never know what matters. And I mean, I think that, you know, right here, right now, just sitting in this small group, like we've come together a number of times, and this still is an impactful moment. And, you know, once again, appreciate you taking your time to come be on the show.
Yeah. So where can people find your music? That. Where can they check you out?
You can find my music on iTunes. I'm with a group called Collective Thought. That's my live band. I also have the single Cream of the Crop, which you can find on iTunes. You can find it on
we'll link it in the podcast.
Bandcamp, also on YouTube as well and stuff. So you can find me on there. You can find me on SoundCloud, various different
SoundCloud.com/
Storm Shadow ATX. So definitely check me out on that. And there's more on the way. Definitely got some more things brewing and stuff. But again, just like I said, the world's topsy-turvy right now. Sometimes you got to put that music on pause and handle life too. You know what I'm saying? Some grown man adult shit too. You know what I'm saying? So it ain't all about music all the time and stuff like that. Music is part of the culture. You know what I'm saying? But my life is something else. My soul is something else. You know what I mean? You have to be able to separate certain things and know when to put things down and pick them up as well. You know what I'm saying? Probably. Even on a political stream, you know what I'm saying? White, left wing, white ring, it's all the same bird. You know what I'm saying? Poverty still exists. Racism still exists. Injustice still exists. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
After all these decades. So we have to be able to take it into perspective and look at it under a correct lens and even see if some of the people that are in these governing groups are even for the people at all. You know what I'm saying? If they're God or the devil, because there is no in between. You're either God or the devil. So we judge that by one's acts and we see what we are today in the world. You know what I'm saying?
Speak so better than words.
There it is. So judge by the fruit, you know what I'm saying? Erykah Badu, she got that song, says she chooses her friends like she does her fruit. You have to look at it very good under the light and make sure there's no bruising, no type of worms in there and stuff. And that's how we need to handle things moving forward.
It's powerful words. So we want to thank you for coming over for this interview, Storm Shadow. We appreciate you. And listen, for everyone listening to From the Jump, you can find us at fromthejump.com as well. You can find our social links beneath. We'll also have links to Storm Shadow's music beneath this video. So please like and subscribe and comment below what your thoughts are on hip-hop and selfhood. So thank you again for tuning in to From the Jump.
I share crap graffiti shoved in a box, but cream rises to the top. So take a sip and just watch. We go back like rag tops, fabric pickers for your frock. Elegant box, go get the walk of presence that's far. I light up my pot, inhale the strength of culture that saw our rhythm you rock. Yet disregard the blues we drop. I hew a top, abstract thought in time's emotion. I'm hoping my niggas open to the dreams life can show them. Clutch all the gems, creme de la creme, pass from your kin. So many thoughts and passion within. We task with the wind as we clash the glasses with stems. They fall to the brim. Peep the grins, finna pass down hymns and pseudonyms. Feel the room spin like the world around the sun. Don't be afraid to branch out, cause growth is who you become. You deep rooted in love, built to stretch beyond what was. Your vision wanders above as our ancestors applaud.
From the Jump.
Peace.